TheWellnessCouch.com, streaming wellness into your lives.
If you've ever wanted to meet the person behind the person, to hear the story behind the story, or just want to learn what makes successful people tick, how they navigate through the tough times, and how you can apply what they do to help in your journey, then stick around and join Global Change CEO turned mentor, Stu Hayes, as he asks questions just like these to our amazing guests each week on Careers Unplugged.
If you feel being happy, committed, and passionate about your career is important, then you are absolutely in the right place. My name's Stu Hayes, and this week on Careers Unplugged, we have an amazing guest. I'm talking to our guest all the way from Iowa. I've just learned a few things about Iowa, and we're going to be exploring some of my favorite topics, things that he's learned in his career, and things that I'm also really, really passionate about. Our guest is an author. He's an authority on innovative thinking, engagement, goal achievement, and workplace mentoring. He splits his time working across organizations and working across college campuses with students in the US. He also works one-on-one with elite leaders from organizations like NASA and Disney and Pioneer to help create what he calls the next generation workforce. Mitch Matthews, it's my great pleasure to welcome you to Careers Unplugged.
Thank you so much, Stu. It's truly an honor to get to be with you. And I've listened to a number of your shows, and I've got to say, I'm honored to be on with you. But I'm also, this is my first podcast who's also had a ninja as a guest. I got to tell you, that blew me away. I'm like, I'm moving on up here.
Yeah, the ninja episode was a very popular episode.
I bet. I loved it.
So what's the ninja population of Iowa?
Gosh, I don't know. I'm sure that I can probably Google that, but I know that it's not high enough. But I will tell you, ironically, I own the domain iowaninja.com. So I have an affiliation with the ninja community. I just, of course, if I knew the number, I probably couldn't tell you because they'd kill me.
1-300-IOWA-NINJA.
That's exactly right.
So have you got a martial arts background?
Interestingly enough, I do. I wasn't planning on going this route, but yeah, I actually spent a lot of time in the martial arts when I was in college. Okay. And then kind of drifted away from it. But I have, my wife and I have two sons. Mm. And our youngest son is our budding samurai. So he does competitive archery, and he's turning into quite the martial artist. And about a year into him being in the martial arts, I asked him, it'd be okay if I joined him again, or, you know, and got back into it. And so we've been doing it together for about a year. And I'm a lot older with a lot more gray hair in my on my head this time around, but it's still a lot of fun. And so, yeah, there's a little connection to the martial arts, but yeah, I am maybe an aspiring ninja.
Different recovery rate, I imagine.
Exactly. I used to be able to just shake things off. Now I always say, if I'm going to be mugged, I'm going to have to tell the mugger, just give me 5 minutes to warm up. I'll be able to defend myself as long as I can, you know, touch my toes for about 5 minutes.
Well, I heard someone talk about that recently. Like, I don't have a martial arts background. It's been something that's always captivated me, that I always wished I'd done. And maybe hearing you, maybe I should go and enroll. My son does it. He's 9, and he really loves it. But this guy recently was saying, that if you're going to do it, if you're going to do a self-defense course, why wouldn't you do a martial art, you know, because if the person who's mugging you is a trained martial artist, then you're in trouble.
Right.
Unless
that's exactly
you know a martial
right.
art. You know, if they know what they're training doing, it's not going to help a great deal.
That's right. Well, I don't know about you, Stu, but I know you're an expert on this, you know, kind of getting people to think bigger and, you know, beyond themselves. And that's one of the things that I love about the martial arts is that the school that we found is taught by an older instructor, and a lot of the head students, the high ranking students, are older, and they're masterful. They have amazing skill. They don't always kick, you know, real high, but you can tell they really know what they're doing. But I don't know about you, but for me, doing something like that just gives me more energy. I feel more creative, all of that. But I don't do well with going and doing an aerobics class or going and just lifting weights. So I'm weird that way. I just have to do something, you know, that's a little bit more physically demanding, but fun and kind of inspires me. I could tell it inspires my thinking as much as it does, you know, my body and things. So Yeah.
So let's go down that path a little bit. So, you know, I mean, you've had a great career in different areas, which maybe we can come back to later. But
sure.
Do you find that there are parallels between the types of things that happen in martial arts that overlay into what you do with teaching people to dream bigger, to innovate?
Absolutely. Well, it's really interesting. You know, I've never gone down this track, but it's fascinating to me. So yeah, absolutely. So you had mentioned, you know, I do a lot of speaking and working with organizations, but I also do a lot of one-on-one work through coaching, executive coaching, life coaching. And there's a lot of the martial arts in coaching. Especially like particular martial arts, like our martial art is an older form of karate. You know, in the United States, we have a lot of kind of newer forms of karate that are really flashy and, you know, all sorts of MMA, contests that where people are working out, put some music and you can't tell whether it's, you know, aerobics class or karate class, but ours is a real more traditional karate class. And one of the, or karate school, I should say,
This is like real Mr. Miyagi sort of stuff.
Right. Yeah. Daniel San, I'm doing that crane kick. Oh yeah. But it doesn't look that good. But it's interesting, you know, one of the central kind of understandings within martial arts, or this particular martial art at least, is kind of understanding kind of your energy and that the person that you're working with, their energy. So, for example, the other day I was sparring with a student who was a more advanced belt and a lot stronger than I was. And he came in really hard. It was pretty overwhelming. And, you know, he kind of got me. And he stopped and he said, "Do you realize how easy it would have been to just shift my energy just a little bit?" And I don't mean metaphysically. I just meant, you know, kind of stepping out of the way and letting him move past me. And he said, "Then I'm like a billboard. The back of me is exposed. I'm weak. You know, no matter how big I am, you can use my force against me." And sure enough, we were sparring again and he moved in and I stepped to the side and you know, I was able to, you know, I moved his energy. And I think sometimes with coaching, it's a little bit like that. I think sometimes people come in and, you know, a lot of times what I'm trying to do is help them maybe unlock or unbury some of their big dreams, some of their big goals, and helping them to figure those things out. And because of, you know, just life happens, sometimes we have those big dreams, we have those big goals, but they get beat up and we feel like we either have to defend them or push back or we're ready to do those things. And I think sometimes with coaching, you know, one of our greatest, you know, kind of gifts that we can give someone is just step to their side. And all of a sudden they realize, oh, wow, you know, my whole life I feel like I'm always dealing with somebody on the other side of the table. But with coaching, you can move to the side, be by them, you know, sit on the other side of the table with them and help them to see a different perspective, kind of move them forward using their own energy. So sounds a little metaphysical, but really there's just some real brass tacks things you can do that help people kind of uncover, rediscover those dreams and then start building a plan to go after it.
Let's come back to this because I'm seeing about four or five little themes that I'd like to talk about that sort of stemming off that. But let's give some context for the listeners. So can you talk us through high-level audience information session on your career? How'd you get to where you are? How'd you get to become an author and a teacher of so many people?
Sure. Absolutely. Well, I was born in a small town in Iowa. Just kidding. I'm not going to go back that far, but I will say that I was
ninja.
That's exactly right. So, what's kind of funny is that I've always been somewhat of an extreme personality. So when I was a kid, I fell in love with bikes and there was a small bike shop in my hometown and pedal bikes, push bikes and 10 speeds, 12 speeds and all of that. And the summer I was 12, I spent every day in this bike shop watching the mechanics, watching the salespeople, looking through the catalogs, just fell in love with bikes. I thought I wanted – like my big dream was to own a bike shop. And finally, the bike shop owners either had to decide to, you know, have me arrested for loitering or hire me. And God bless them, they hired me. And, you know, all of a sudden I had my dream job. And then a year later, when I was 14, they wound up sending me to a Schwinn selling school, which was the, you know, kind of the bike company at the time. Mm-hmm. And I went to the Schwinn selling school. So I was 14 and I was in this thing with a bunch of middle-aged bike shop owners. And this guy walks in the room and he starts training us on how to sell. And all of a sudden, I remember like it was yesterday, I can remember thinking, what is this guy's job?
Yeah.
How does that work? Like it was totally, it was teaching, but it was totally unlike any classroom I'd ever been in. And I thought, I want that guy's job. And so that really set kind of the course for my life. I started to do my own workshops. I started to sell my own workshops when I was in college. My first workshops were to small mom and pop retail organizations, helping them learn how to sell and helping their teams learn how to sell and all those things. But then what I wound up doing was I thought that I was doing the right thing by then going into the corporate world and getting a lot of corporate experience, which was good to a point. I went into sales and all of that, then got into corporate training, which was great. And then I moved back out into sales. And then this kind of evolution started to happen that I really wasn't aware of. And I wound up taking a job that was only supposed to be a short-term job to kind of help me get ready for being an entrepreneur. And that wound up going on a lot longer than I thought. And a little part of me started to die every day. I realized I kind of woke up in what I call the sitcom life, where it was single income, two children, oppressive mortgage. And all of a sudden I realized I was stuck. I knew what my goal was. I knew what my dream was. I'd even tasted it. But all of a sudden I'm like, I am stuck and I'm running in waist deep mud. And I didn't really know if I was going to be able to get out of it. My wife actually started to get real scared because it was, you know, I was fine on the outside, but she can tell a little piece of me was dying on the inside. But what we decided to do was set a new course. And I started to kind of do some things on the side while I was in the sales position and started to build a little bit of a coaching practice on the side, and then started to do some speaking and set some goals for ourselves. And lo and behold, we had a 2-year plan that I was able to do in 6 months. And that was 12 years ago. And we've been going for it ever since. And what's amazing is, you know, I'm grateful for the experience of almost losing that dream, because I think I appreciate it so much more now, because I know what it's like to be in a position that's just a bad fit position. It wasn't a terrible job. It was just a terrible job for me. And I started to get stuck there. And so it's that much sweeter now that we get to do what we do.
That passion that you had right back at the start, is it still the same one now?
You know, what's interesting is that, you know, I think I still tap into kind of that enthusiasm that I had when I was 14, kind of that childlike wonder of how did he do that? He just got a bunch of old grumpy people to do something that they haven't done before and they like it. You know, how did he do that? And so, you know, even at that age, I started to understand or dig into what motivates people. What's even instructional design, you know, I started to look at that, you know, how does instructional design work? How do we learn as adults? I started to study that even in high school, which didn't make me all that impressive at parties, but it allowed me to start selling stuff, you know, those kinds of things. And so I just kind of, that's what I did.
So you've moved forward. You know, you said that 12 years ago was when you sort of started building the business on the side. It's now all you do.
That's all we do. Yep.
And you're coaching people in a very broad spectrum. So on one hand, you've got you're doing work inside colleges, and on the other hand, you're working at the highest end of the corporate world. How does that fit together?
Isn't that interesting? So yeah, it's actually the college work in some ways happened as an accident. I was doing a lot of corporate work. That's what I love to focus on. Innovating and thinking bigger, going after that, engaging at a higher level, delivering at a higher level. But I also just always have this passion around making sure people are in the right fit positions, in the right fit jobs. And that's a core part of engagement. You know, sometimes you can get people more engaged, but if they're in a bad fit position, it's going to be really difficult to ever get them fully engaged. So I always love to say, are you on the right bus? And then once you're on the right bus, are you in the right seat in that bus? And so, you know, it's kind of always been a passion for me to not just help people to think bigger, but to make sure they're in the right place. And I was invited to speak at a college conference a number of years ago now, about 4 years, 5 years ago. And I, you know, was able to, instead of talking to people that were halfway through their careers, all of a sudden I found myself talking to people as they were just entering that process, as they were starting to kind of set the framework for the rest of their lives. Yep. And I realized two things. One, I'm wildly passionate about the opportunity to get to talk with them early on. But two, I realized there was a crisis that was happening, and it was happening especially in the United States. And I'm not sure. I haven't gotten to speak in unis in Australia yet, but it could very well be the same thing. But
I've got to applaud you for that. The identification of the word uni is a very it's a good hardball get, as we'd call it over here.
Hey, there we go. I'm trying. I'm trying to speak language, man. A mate, I should say. I can't pull off the accent. Not going to try. I'd butcher that and lose all my credibility. Yeah.
What's happening that I'm seeing over here, because I also have a funny mix in that way. I have such a passion for working with people at the very start of their career and in that sort of mid-career, a few years post-university. I'm a bit lost now. You know, how do I accelerate things, that sort of stuff?
Yeah.
And what I'm seeing is that so many people they're just so much more serious about their undergraduate studies now at university level, and they're losing the fun, you know. So they're funneling into universities at the age of 17 or 18. They may or may not take a year off to go traveling. The whole aim is to get the best paying job, but at no point are they taking a reference check to see, is this something that I'm even remotely interested in, let alone passionate about in the first place, you know.
It's so true. And I think that's a huge crisis.
And off they go. And, you know, it's just disappointing for them.
Absolutely. And they don't necessarily realize it at the time, but it's one of those, we know the fruit of that. And I don't mean that in some sort of rainbows, butterflies, little ponies kind of way that, you know, if you get into the right job, everything's going to be perfect all of the time. And, you know, you'll sing songs as you run across the meadow to work. You know, it's not that, but it's one of those where I think, just as you said, and that's one of the crises that I saw, was that they weren't aspiring to be in a career that they loved. They weren't aspiring to kind of pursue bigger things. They were kind of looking for that lowest hanging fruit, or, you know, even concerned that they'd find anything at all. So they just weren't dreaming. And so that was something for me that wound up being a true catalyst to say, how do we do that? How do we inspire that? Because I know for me, you know, I look back and think about, you know, the greatest, it's definitely, you know, about career satisfaction, but there's a deeper concern there. I mean, you think about any great, you know, industrial breakthrough, any great, you know, technical breakthrough, any great even story of a team coming back from, you know, to beat all odds, it was because somebody was willing to actually pursue a dream. Somebody who's willing to take a chance. And if we don't cultivate that, that's a really dangerous thing. If we cultivate fear, if we cultivate kind of setting that bar low, which is really easy to do, it has much bigger impact, I believe, on the bigger picture than just career satisfaction. And so for me, it's a personal, revolution.
This is a mission, right? By the
way, yeah.
Clearly a mission for you. You're out there cultivating people, dreaming bigger, playing a bigger game in life now. Yep. Starting off with the people at the youngest level in their careers, they're just at college. Yep. So yeah. What are you doing? Like, what's the program the pathway that you're encouraging people to follow?
Absolutely. Well, you know, it's interesting. We do a lot of different things to inspire people to think bigger. One of the things that we do, and I actually talk about this in my book, Ignite, but we do something we call a big dream gathering. And that is, it's an event that people can come to, and I'll set it up a little bit, tell some stories of how it kind of got started. But the general idea is to just give people permission to write down some of their dreams and then post them on the walls. We have different dream categories, so there's a little bit of order to it, but there's also a lot of chaos to it. And we just invite people to write their dreams down, put them up on the walls, and then we encourage everybody to go around and look at each other's dreams and then write comments on those dreams, ideas, suggestions, offers to help, encouragement, all of those things. And we've had some unbelievable things happen when you just get people in the room, give them permission to dream, and then give them permission to encourage each other. Just crazy stories of connections, help, you know, breakthroughs and all of that. But what we found, you know, with college students especially, but even anyone, you know, adults to people in their 90s have attended big dream gatherings. It's really amazing to see what does happen in someone when they've just all of a sudden kind of find themselves giving themselves permission to dream again. Or in some ways, that first time.
It's such a cool thing. And I mean, I recall when I was a university student sitting back and watching a couple in a restaurant one day who were not that much older than me. And I thought, gee, man, these guys have lost it. You know, and I started joking with my friends and saying, you know, there lies so-and-so, you know, passed away 2025, but died in 1991.
That's right. That's
when
exactly
their dreams
right.
Died, right. And yep. It occurred to me at the time that actually that I would regard that I had died when I had stopped dreaming.
Yep.
And it's something for me that has been welded into the way that I've lived, I guess, looking back. So this is incredible. So we're in an era now where a lot of commentators would say we've got huge globalization happening and big corporates that are becoming more and more change resistant.
Mm-hmm.
Yet we've got technologies that are becoming or enabling change to happen more and more rapidly. So, you know, internet obviously being the underlying resource. What I'm seeing is in one room, the collaboration or the convergence, the power of this thing happening in a room. What an amazing arrangement. Do you sort of take this on a tour around the States, or is it?
Yeah, we do it now. We primarily do Big Dream Gatherings on college campuses just because there's such a need. But every time we do it, we try to also invite the community you know, get them involved to be able to participate. And, you know, it's amazing the kind of the broader the group that we can have. It's just amazing from the standpoint of being able to then see what kind of connections can happen.
Mm.
So yeah, we do it all over the United States, and maybe we're going to have to do one in Australia sometime soon.
Well, why not, Mitch? Let's do it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But it is incredible because it's one of those where, you know, you'll see what's great about it is when people post their dreams, they're assigned a dreamer number. So it's all anonymous. So you don't know if the person is, you know, young, old, their background. You just know they're a dreamer. And there's something about that that really levels a playing field and really allows people to, you know, just see somebody not because of their heritage, not because of their background, not because of their economic strata, but you just get to see them as a dreamer. And I call it a little taste of heaven. Because I think, you know, it's one of those things where I think our DNA, we're wired to actually dream and we're wired to help each other out. That's just kind of who we are when we're at our best. And that kind of experience allows people to do it. And so, you know, really, and with the dreaming, I think, too, it's a muscle. I say that we have a dreaming muscle. And just like, you know, working your bicep or working your tricep or any of those things, you have to do it and you don't start with huge weights. You have to do it over time. And I always say, you know, with the Big Dream Gathering, people get the chance of writing down some smaller dreams or some things that are a little crazy. We even have a dream category that's dreams that defy categorization. That's my favorite one to watch because you never know what's going to go in there. You know, but we've had all sorts of crazy dreams get posted in there. And you know, some people have been able to make those happen immediately, you know, and sometimes it's, you know, getting support from others. But there's different categories as well, you know, career and health and fitness and media, business, you know, medicine, agriculture. So it really allows people to dream on a lot of different fronts and it helps them to work that dreaming muscle.
Would you benefit from a business coach or mentor who's the real deal? Or from a training program customized to fix real problems or help you and your team hit actual KPIs and performance targets? Stuart Hayes stepped away from his career as a global change CEO and committed to mentoring, coaching, and training a new generation of leaders, as well as anyone seeking positive impact through their business or career. Visit stuarthayesleadership.com now. Book a free one-hour strategy session with Stuart and learn how you can get the skills, training, and knowledge normally limited to selected staff within Tier 1 multinational organizations. Programs are available for every need and budget.
So you've got your dream, right? And you've identified that. What's the next step? How do you navigate from there?
Yeah, it's a great question. And it's one of those that I really believe in. You know, I'm a recovering perfectionist. I don't know about you. Do you have any troubles with perfectionism?
No. I quite happily adopt the mantra that sloppy success is better than perfect mediocrity.
That's awesome. I love it. So one of the challenges, some of your audience are perfectionists, they know what I'm talking about. But one of the challenges that I have is that, I might be able to be quick to write a dream down. But as a perfectionist, I want to have it done yesterday. Mm. I want to get it done perfectly. And it's one of those where the steps that I want to take tend to be huge. Mm. So that feels really good writing down some of those steps. But all of a sudden I realize, that my either conscious or subconscious is going, that's great, but it's impossible. So now, I'm a big believer in saying, okay, what are some small but significant steps that you can take over time to make that a reality? In our book, I'm a big believer in helping someone create a plan that they own as opposed to something they feel like I've given them. And so in Ignite, it's really a series of stories and then a series of questions. And, that's one of the big series of questions is, all right, what are some small steps? What are some significant but small steps that you can take over time? But also, who else can you reach out to? Who else can you be learning from? It's those kinds of things to be able to then say, how can we make this happen? And to your point, it doesn't have to necessarily be done perfectly. It can be pretty messy sometimes. Mm. But how can you do that and then enjoy the journey as you do?
So Ignite, it's out on Kindle. In for Australian audience, also presumably in paperback. How would someone track down a copy if they wanted to grab it?
Absolutely. If they want to find out more, they can just go to ignitethebook.com and you'll be able to be redirected to – you'll find out more and be redirected to the Amazon site that'll guide you to – especially the Kindle version is the easiest one to grab and it'll walk you through that. But then people can also get the full audio version of the book as well. We just give that to anybody that invests in the book.
I got to say, I'm a big audiobook fan. I love the whole concept.
Me too. It's one of those with as much time as I spend in the car and on airplanes. Yeah. I love audiobooks. They save me a lot.
For the same reason.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's just that transference of information, but it's also in a way that is easily portable.
Now, you've also agreed to provide something for the community at Careers Unplugged, which is the Ignite Action Guide. Talk us through that.
Yeah, absolutely. So the Ignite Action Guide is a complement to the book itself, and it's something that we want to give people so that they can truly not just think about their dreams, but actually write them down and then begin the plan, just that simple plan of actually – or the simple process of putting a plan together. And that's what the action plan does is it, or the action guide does is it kind of walks along in complement with the book to be able to ask you some questions to help you to think about, okay, what are some of my dreams? What are some of my goals? Maybe some of them will come right back to you. Some of them you might have to give yourself a little bit of time to think through, but to be able to say, okay, begin that process of writing those things down, giving yourself permission to do it. And then as you do, then start to put that plan in place.
Question. One of the things you mentioned was sort of the concept of feeling your way and that sort of vibe as well. So, or not locking too heavily onto a specific outcome.
Yeah.
White knuckle cop, sort of concept. What do you find when someone's got they're dreaming big, they've got this dream that's out there and they're starting to refine the focus. How do you balance that concept of allowing yourself to be moved towards it rather than having that white knuckle attack of it?
Sure. That's a great question. Kind of that, what I like to call is anchoring, where you kind of anchor in on one particular solution or one particular idea, and then you're kind of blinded to any other options. And, that's kind of a, one of the things that's kind of interesting and I've been studying kind of the idea of having fun as you do this and the importance of doing that. And what's interesting is there's a lot of studies that are out there kind of aiming at actually fun being one of the great drivers of innovation, which you probably know all about.
Yeah.
But it's interesting. There's even a study out that's called the Lollipop Study. I'm not sure if you've heard of it, but they took a group of doctors that were going through medical school, and half of them they took him through this exercise that basically is one of the most difficult aspects of medical school, apparently, where they take him through an exercise of giving him a series of symptoms. And then they have to, based on those symptoms and the way that they're introduced, decide what the patient has. And then they're tested on whether they're accurate or not. And one group is the control group. And then one group, they introduced just a small element of fun before they went through this test. And what's interesting is the group, the control group, didn't do very well. But the group that actually just had this small element of fun beforehand, they actually arrived at the correct answer in half the time. And they were 2.5 times less likely to anchor to the wrong idea.
Now, Mitch, we're running out of time here. Quick golden nugget. What would your golden nugget be for people who were wanting to dream bigger?
Absolutely.
Or maybe have the courage to pursue their dreams in the first place.
Absolutely. I love it. Well, I would say kind of in many ways, kind of the golden nugget is I think it starts with permission. And giving ourselves permission to dream. That's one of the things we see at a big dream gathering is that there's almost like people come in and sometimes they feel a little guarded or maybe a little bit beat up or maybe not even sure what they might write down as a dream or a goal. And maybe, you know, some of your listeners are there like, okay, they hear about an idea of having a dream, but it's been so long since they've given themselves permission to dream. I don't even know where to start. But it starts with giving yourself that permission to say it's okay to dream. You know, it does take some risk. To dream, it takes some risk. It almost feels risky to write those things down because it feels almost more concrete than maybe there's some accountability that goes along with it. But starting that process of just giving yourself that permission can really then start to open up possibility. And as you do that, you start to work that dreaming muscle, that kind of that goal setting muscle for yourself. And it really does start to open up possibilities.
Well, there you go. I have to say, I absolutely love this topic. I love the concept of encouraging the world to dream bigger and to have the courage, to find the courage to pursue their dreams. Mitch Matthews, thank you so much for coming on the show and for sharing so openly. I've got to say, it's interviews like this that make me wonder whether we should really be doubling the duration of all these episodes to 60 minutes at least, not just around the time we normally go at. Anything else you wanted to add before we wrap it up?
No, other than just keep bringing your awesome, man. You guys are doing just great work, and it's such an honor to get to be a part of this. So thanks for doing what you do. I'm looking forward to our paths crossing many times.
Well, thank you. And to all of you at home, in the car, or wherever you are, thanks for joining us. We hope the insights provided by Mitch help you on your journey. Make a point of visiting careersunplugged.com. Check out the Ignite Action Guide that Mitch is providing for us. Leave a comment and get access to a whole bunch of resources designed specifically to help you make it big in life, career, and business. This has been Careers Unplugged with Stu Hayes.
Hi, it's Damien Christoph here. If you're loving the Wellness Couch podcast, then you'll absolutely love our special once-only free 4-part webinar series starting Thursday, October 30. Join me and my Wellness Guys co-host, plus Marcus Pierce from 100 Not Out and Inside the Champion's Mind, as we dive deep into the hot topics of wellness over 4 consecutive weeks. Brett Hill will kick us off by showing you how to be fab and fit in 5. I'll be presenting What the F and discussing the big bad F words when it comes to food. Lawrence Tam will leave you inspired with a magnificent mindset. And MP will reveal his 10-step formula to mastering your life. These webinars are absolutely free and they go for an hour each. And they take place every Thursday night from October 30 until November 20. To get access, you must sign up. So simply go to www.thewellnesscouch.com or check out The Wellness Couch on Facebook.
Whilst the Wellness Couch presenter endeavour to provide accurate and helpful information to their listeners, these podcasts cannot take into account individual circumstances and are not intended to be a substitute for health and medical advice from a qualified health professional. You should always seek the advice of a qualified health professional before acting on any of the information provided by any of the Wellness Couch podcasts.